Was it was a did you when you was there were there driver's license and
oh,
the
yeah.
driver's test? It was a sad.
Well, see, I guess no driver's test, just a written test. You know, yeah, most kids know how to drive anyway.
Yeah.
But
so you did have a car once at that
moment. Well, we didn't have a car till 1939.
What kind of car did you
get? I had a 36 Chevrolet. I didn't get to use it very much because it cost money to buy gas.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Indiana then. When I got out of the 8th grade, we moved to Indiana.
Okay. Where in Indiana?
Back to Plaskow. Yeah.
What size city is that?
It's 100 population.
Oh,
we
okay.
had a, my dad had a small farm. We spent the summers there. He wanted us out of the city in the summer.
So that was, when did you start, I mean, noticed that things were changing and starting to move out of the Depression and things were economic?
It seemed like near the end of the 30s, the 40s, things were much, jobs were more plentiful, farmers were getting better prices for their produce, and it seemed, and we had a little more money. I worked for farmers and thrashing rings. I got $3 a day, no tax off of it or anything. At the end of the week, I had $15 in my pocket and went a long ways.
So the first job you got was then working with the farmers, or?
Oh no! When we lived in Chicago, I delivered papers. In fact, I had a route big enough. I got $9, and that was an awful lot of money. But there was a lot of work.
The big city paper?
Mm-hmm. Chicago mm-hmm. paper. Seems like I had 100 and some customers.
Can you remember any certain things, any world events or something that just really struck you during the 30s?
World events, yeah, like Dillinger being killed and Al Capone and Babyface Nelson. Most of the big, and also Hitler's, when Hitler was had great impact on the, even in grade school. Because
mm-hmm.
I can remember when Mussolini went to Ethiopia he was being defeated by people with spears, you know, and we were cheering for the Ethiopians. And yes, that had a great impact on world affairs and at home, too.
Mm-hmm. When, I guess Hitler really started to come to power in the early 30s, when did you start feeling a genuine sense of fear that he was a big threat?
I would say in the early 30s.
Yes.
It was... Everybody talked about it, you know, and we wanted to stay out of it in the worst way. We didn't want to be involved in it, but, you know, history tells you that we were drawn into it, the British, and actually I think we should have moved sooner, much, much sooner.
So you weren't an isolationist then?
No, not at all. We would have, but I can understand our leaders trying to keep us because there's going to be loss of lives.
Mm-hmm.
But ended up a great, you know, larger loss than that.
Where were you during Pearl Harbor?
I was still in school.
You were still in school. I mean, do you remember? I mean,
oh, my, yes. I tell you, everybody can remember it. I didn't know about it till I come out of the movie that night, Sunday night. See, that was a big deal. We'd go to the movie Sunday night, and we'd go into Chapman's and have a hamburger and stuff before. Well, one of our teachers was with us, our English teacher and a couple of my buddies, and we just happened to see her there, and we come out, and there was an extra Pearl Harbor bomb. Well, my goodness, I could hardly wait to get home, and I had the greatest fear I would not be able to finish school, because I was sick, and I didn't get out of school until I was 19,
mm-hmm.
out of high school, which was actually a good deal, so I got a deferment to finish school,
mm-hmm.
and it changed everything. But the support of the American people during, there was nothing like Vietnam. Everybody back to rationing and everything. My father knew my wife because he was older than most people. My father was much older than my mother. But he got to know my wife because she worked in the grocery store, and he'd go in there with these ration stamps and that thing. It was a hardship, but it was something that was accepted. So it lessened the hardship.
Were they right directly under Pearl Harbor? It seems the biggest fear was Hitler, and then was it sort of? I mean, how much had you heard about Japan being a concern?
Very little.
Very little.
Yes, we knew that they were causing a lot of problems, and in Singapore and, you know, in the eastern countries. But it wasn't the as much attention given to them as the Hitler. But I do know, I knew that the Japanese diplomats were in the United States at that time before Pearl Harbor was attacked, because that was quite a bit on the radio. Mm-hmm. You know, when we had this snowstorm and we didn't have television or anything and we had to rely on radio,
mm-hmm.
You'd probably listen to the radio more than you ever. Well, that gives you an idea of what it was like before television, how important the radio was. You know, we'd hover around that radio and listen to all the war news and everything. But I knew I had to go into the service, and I was thankful I was able to finish school.
Mm-hmm. You finished school in 43, so.
Mm-hmm.
So did you feel, during the time that you were still finishing school, did you feel sort of a guilt that you weren't over?
Oh, yes, very much so. Because in grade school, some of the guys that graduated in 42 were already gone, and they were my buddies, you know. When I left, I certainly wanted to go. But I went and got out of school in April the 18th, and the 21st of May I was in service, so you can see how fast they were plucking up young people.
Yeah.
Yes,
Was it draft 16 or 18?
18.
It was 18, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had to register at 18, but if you were in certain jobs or if you were still in school, it was not a problem to get deferment. But you had to apply for it, and you had to, every month or so, you had to report to your draft board and that you were still in school. And it was wasn't draft dodgers and nothing like that. Everybody was wanting to go, and those that couldn't go or that had deferments or, you know, 4F.
Was there a big sudden change sort of with between, I guess, where World War II begins is almost like modern history begins. Well, mm-hmm. Modern history. And was it sort of an overnight thing, or I mean,
immediately, as soon as Japan and we declared war, you know, President Roosevelt the very next day declared war, mm-hmm. His famous speech, and it seemed like it escalated just like that.
Mm-hmm. Did once once Hitler started, you know, I guess he invaded some of the, you know, Czechoslovakian provinces and stuff first. At that point, I guess that was in, I guess, mid-30s, did you sort of feel that it was inevitable that war was going to, that we were going to have to get in a war? I mean,
well, Hitler was not our friend by a darn sight.
No.
But I had hopes, held out that we wouldn't have to. And I'm not sure if Japan would not have attacked Pearl Harbor, we probably would have delayed a little bit longer getting into the war. Because I do believe Britain was beginning to hold their own. They were beginning to swing the pendulum the other way. But when Hitler came, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, we had no choice. We had to go.
Was the radio coverage really good? I mean, or did you just get bits and pieces?
No, it was very good. It's not like television now,
right,
where they go right in with you. But they had correspondence, and we read every editorial. Ernie Pyle was one of the great writers that we followed. Edward R. Murrow, we listened to him. Boy, his word was the word. And I think they did a very good job. The newspaper was so important. You read every scrap of it, of the newspaper.
Did you come across any people that were, you know, for the Axis nations at all?
No, if they did, they were already shuffled away. That was, I feel our country did our Japanese American a disservice. I think that was one of the worst things we did during the war.
Were there any Japanese Americans living around where you lived?
There were some, very few. They had farms and stuff, but they weren't bothered. People knew them, they'd been there, and, you know, they were born and raised in America.
When you were drafted, where were you sent?
The Great Lakes, Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did you fight overseas at all?
Yeah, I spent almost my entire overseas. I was on an aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm.
Enterprise, USS Enterprise.
And that was, I mean...
Well, I was hit 11 times.
Really?
Yeah, I had 15 battle stars. I had 15 battle stars. I don't sounds like bragging, so I
no,
don't
no,
want
no.
to. We won't pursue that anymore.
Did you have any contact with any Europeans at all? Did you get on?
No Europeans. Japanese.
You did get in contact with?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the Russians.
So you were in the Pacific, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Spent all my time in the Pacific. Some Russian sailors, some British sailors. You know, we were in port together.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to have any conversations with any of them? Obviously, the
just British. Other than hi or how are you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we pretty much. They went their way and we went their way, that way.
Running out of questions now.
That's okay.
Did you you were on the ship most of the time, right? I mean, you're actually on the ship. Did you sort of know what was going on? Were you access to radios and everything, so you knew what was going on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, heavens, I'm an aircraft carrier. I was on a flight deck, and I'd get in the planes, and their radios, we'd listen to the Tokyo Rose and all that. But then we did have some Japanese prisoners of war and stuff. We didn't have it as bad as foot soldiers, but we were hit by a kamikaze and knocked out of the war in May of 1945. Because the war was over in August of 1945.
Right. When did you feel, even back when you were in the States, when did you feel the turning point in the war where it seemed like, yeah, I mean, at first it kind of looked like Hitler was just going to keep going and keep going unless he got France. And when did you feel there was a turning point that Britain could stand on her own and he could be defeated?
Well, I couldn't give you a specific time. By us, the Marshall Plan, furnishing all, we would have continued to do that. And golly, I couldn't give you I couldn't say this is when it happened. It was just that there was a feeling that we could have possibly stayed out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Back in the States, what sort of stuff was rationed and what were the sacrifices that had to be made?
Oh, golly, gas. I come home on a 30-day leave and they give me 5 gallons of gas for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Shoes, women and shoes and silk stockings and meat and just everything. Meat was a bad one. Shoes, you know, the gals used to paint their legs with, I forget what they call those, it looks like stockings, rain or anything, and run down, no makeup. Tires was a bad one. It really was. We had, and cigarettes, oh my gosh. Too bad. Now, that was, I come home on leave and my father had enough, he smoked and he didn't have any cigarettes or anything. Went in one of the restaurants there where we were known and the gal got and gave me a carton of cigarettes and made my dad so angry that here he's been struggling for cigarettes. You can't believe how important cigarettes were then. And I don't think beer or anything like that was rationed. But they handled the ration stamps just like money. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the red stamp for meat. And the farmers had all kinds of gas. If you living out on the farm, I'd go over to my friend and he'd give me gas and he would black market meat and stuff to the local grocery stores. But it was very difficult. I had 3.5 tires in the car. My dad finally did get a tire because he only had 3 tires and it was a big hassle. You had to go to the ration board. But believe me, it was difficult, but not that bad.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times they call the whole period from 1930 to 1945 just very uncertain. Did you feel a lot of uncertainty about where you'd be? Oh, of course, I feel that now.
Being young, of course, I was 19 when I went in service. Being young, you didn't have a fear of dying or anything until I got in combat, and then that all changed. When they start shooting at you, you have a different. And the servicemen were almost put up on pedestals by the people at home. And it was a pretty great life for a man in the uniform, which is not that way anymore. I guess it's just a job.
Yeah. So, did they deport people and stuff who were against the war at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they.
The
Germans were interned.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that, whether they deported them or not, whether they just interned them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they probably up until actually got in war. Now, you know, like the diplomats from Japan, they were sent back to Japan even after they attacked us. We did not intern them or anything. We just sent them home. And the same way with German diplomats, they were expelled and deported.
Did you visit anywhere else during in the United States during your, you know, on your way to the Pacific? Did you have time? I mean, did you stop in San Francisco?
I was stationed in Seattle for training. Bremerton. Was in California. I was through Panama Canal. I was in Brazil with the Navy. Mm-hmm. But I spent on a ship. I was on two ships, and I spent practically my entire